Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true?
They don't think Christianity's true.
They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming to you today from the studio in Southern Evangelical Seminary, my alma mater right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, ses.edu. And the reason for that is I'm not in my normal studio, which is in my home, because we just moved, and moving is no fun, ladies and gentlemen, no fun at all. In fact, things are everywhere. It's a mess. My office isn't even set up. In fact, if a tornado came through our house right now, it would do $100,000 worth of improvements, all right? Because everything's a mess. You don't want to move. We haven't moved in 20 years. We lived in the same house for 20 years, and we just moved a couple of miles from where we were, and it takes a long time to get things situated. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have my office and studio hooked back up again. You know, the marvels of the internet, I'm able to do radio from my own home and broadcast it on 185 or so stations of the American Family Radio Network. It's amazing, the equipment that does this. In any event, we're at Southern Evangelical Seminary today. In fact, you need to know about Southern Evangelical Seminary. It's a wonderful place to get trained in apologetics, philosophy, and theology. I have a couple of degrees here, a master's degree and a doctorate of ministry degree. And this was started by Dr. Norman Geisler back in 1992. I started attending in 1993. And every year, they have the Land's Best Apologetics Conference. This year, as in all years recently anyway, it's been held the second weekend in October. It'll be held again this year at Calvary Church. For those of you familiar with Calvary Church, it's a huge modern church. It even has escalators in it, ladies and gentlemen, and it seats about 5,500. We don't get that many people for the conference. We get maybe 2,000 or so, which still seems like quite a big group of people, and it is. And there'll be a number of speakers there you don't want to miss. Dr. Geisler should be there. I think Hugh Ross is going to be there. J. Warner Wallace. A number of other speakers. I don't have them in front of me right now, but it's an amazing conference. And at ses.edu, you can learn more about it. It's second weekend in October, and it's something you don't want to miss. It's, this has to be, I'd say, the 24th year, maybe, of this conference. It started with just a couple hundred people. Now it's got about 2,000 coming to it, all sorts of breakouts that you're not going to want to miss. So ses.edu, check that out. People travel from all over the country to come to Charlotte that weekend. It's quite a conference, so you are going to want to be here. Check out the details at SES, that stands for Southern Evangelical Seminary, .edu. And as the months unfold coming up to October, we're going to have some of the speakers at that conference as our guests here on this program. Now, I want to talk today about a crisis in America, and that crisis is a crisis of identity. Identity. What do I mean by that? Well, who are you? What is your identity? Is your identity your country? Is it your hometown? Is it your family? Is it your job or your profession? You know, and quite frequently when you meet somebody, you normally get their name and then you say, hey, what do you do? That sometimes is seen as that person's identity. I'm a speaker, I'm a writer, I'm a teacher, I'm a fireman, I'm a cop, I'm a lawyer, I'm a professor, I'm a retail worker, I'm an accountant. It could be anything. I'm a plumber, I'm a carpenter, I'm a builder. You could come up with any vocation, and people often associate themselves with what they do. Is your identity your bank account? How much money you have? Is your identity your social status? Oh, this guy's a part of such and such a club, or this guy runs in that group. That's who he is. Is your identity your friends? Who is your friend, or who are your friends? Does that define who you are? Is your identity what your favorite cause or charity is? Is it your house? Is it your car? Is your identity your possessions? For many people today, their identity is how many likes they have on Facebook. They put a post up there. Let's see how many people liked it. Let's see how many people shared it. Because if I get a lot of likes or I get a lot of shares, man, I feel good that day. If I don't, I'm wondering, what's wrong with me? Is that your identity, your Facebook likes? Is your identity your favorite sports team? Is that what really motivates you and makes you think, I'm a Giant fan, I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm an Eagles fan, I'm a Redskin fan, I'm a Warrior fan, I'm a Met fan, I'm a Nationals fan, I'm a Dodger, whatever. Is that your identity? Is your identity your hobby? Is your identity your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your spouse? Does that, or does that person give you your identity? Are you so-and-so's husband or so-and-so's wife? Is your identity your kids? I'm the mom of so-and-so. I'm the dad of so-and-so. Or is your identity your parents? What really is your identity? Is your identity in the things that you seek? Money, power, sex, relationships, positions? What is your identity? Who are you? Is your identity your sexual preference or your sexual feelings? That's what it seems to be today for many people. It's their feelings. Whatever I feel sexually, that's who I am. I'm part of the LGBTQ community. In fact, is that my identity? What community I'm in? I'm in the LGBTQ community. I'm in the African-American community. I'm in the Hispanic American community. I'm an American. I'm an Italian. I'm from Poland. I'm from Austria. I'm English. I'm Irish. What is your identity? Ladies and gentlemen, if your identity is not in something eternal, then by definition, it's temporary and it's fleeting. It's not stable. If your identity is your country, that's not stable. Someday your country won't exist anymore. Oh, not in my lifetime. You don't know that. Is your identity your family? What happens if you outlive your family? What then? Is your identity your job, your career, your profession? What happens if you lose your job? Do you cease to exist? How about if you lose all your money? What if you go bankrupt? Do you cease to exist? How about your social status? If people begin snubbing you, and they kick you out of their clique or their club, does that mean you've lost your identity? How about if people you call friends now are no longer your friends? Or you find that your favorite cause or charity is a sham? Or you lose your house, your car, your professions? If you don't get those Facebook likes, if people unfriend you, is your identity gone? What if your sports team continues to lose? It never wins. How about if your boyfriend or girlfriend leaves you, or your spouse walks in one day and says, I want a divorce? Do you no longer exist? Is there something more stable than these temporary things that we cling to here in this life? Who are you? What's your identity? America is in a crisis of identity. And when we come back from the break, we're going to look at a very popular person and see what she says about identity. And I think there's going to be some lessons in there for all of us. And then we're going to talk about where you really get your identity from and how it can be stable and eternal. And no matter what happens to you, you can be secure in who you are. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. Our website, crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. We're back in just 2 minutes.
Thank you for listening to the Cross Examine podcast. This material is made available to you for free by the contributions of listeners like you. If you wish to support future podcasts, just go to crossexamine.org and click on the donate button, or simply use the donate feature directly on our app. Thanks.
What is your identity, ladies and gentlemen? That's our topic here today on Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network, our website, crossexamined.org. Don't forget, we also have TV. In fact, we just started a new series last week on our TV program, which is on DirecTV Channel 378, the NRB TV station. DirecTV Channel 378, Monday nights at 9 Eastern and 1 a.m. In the morning, really Thursday morning, if you're an insomniac. And we're going through the essentials of Christianity. Where does life's compass point? 17-part series, ladies and gentlemen. And you can tune in on DirecTV to see that. If you don't have DirecTV, you can also get it on Roku, which is a TV service that you can buy and put in your house. It's a little box. I don't have it myself, but I understand it works quite well. And on Roku, it's NRB, stands for National Religious Broadcasters. That's where the program airs. And if you don't have DirecTV and you don't have Roku, you can get it on this new thing called the internet. Have you heard that? About the internet? Yeah, it's on the internet. In fact, if you go to our website, crossexamine.org at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday or 1 a.m. Thursday morning, you can watch the show streaming live. And again, we're going through the essentials of Christianity. You know, I've been to a lot of churches, and I've never heard anyone give a sermon series on the essentials of Christianity. So I decided, well, someone's got to do it. So I did it. It's a long series. There's a lot of essentials. There's a lot to get through. But if you're interested in that, check that out. The TV program. And the TV program is called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Okay, we're talking about identity today. And a alert listener, in fact, a contributor to our website, a man by the name of Jim Whidden, who often writes on our blog, The Wisdom Chronicle. Jim is a chronic reader. He's reading all the time. And what he does on The Wisdom Chronicle on our blog, the Cross Examine blog, is he summarizes, or actually, he takes just quotes from what he reads and he puts them on the Wisdom Chronicle. So if you want a good source of great information from a series of books, check out the Wisdom Chronicle at the Cross Examine blog. It's up almost every week. You can see it there. Anyway, Jim sent me an article about Katy Perry. I don't know if you guys know who Katy Perry is. I don't know much about her myself, but he sent me this article and I read about her. She is a pop star. She writes music. She actually played in the Super Bowl. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I think it was probably this past year. She played the halftime show for the Super Bowl. And she was brought up in a Christian home. In fact, she is the daughter of a Pentecostal evangelical pastor. Now, Katy Perry has fallen away from her Christian faith, but not completely. There's an interview, actually an hour-long therapy session on YouTube where she is being asked questions by a therapist of some kind. He appears to be kind of a New Age guy. The YouTube video that you can watch this on, if you want to Google it or go to YouTube, you can find it. It's called Katy Perry, K-A-T-Y Perry, The Therapist on Viceland, V-I-C-E-L-A-N-D, on Viceland. This thing has almost 3 million views. It's an hour-long interview or therapy session with Katy Perry, and the entire therapy session is based on the premise that there's an identity crisis inside this young woman by the name of Katy Perry. Now, Katy Perry is in her early 30s, and she is actually, her real name is Katherine Hudson, but she changed her name to Katy Perry when she got into pop music. And the entire therapy session really is supposedly with two people. With Katy Perry and Katherine Hudson. Now, before we get into that, I want to tell you that Katy Perry reveals in this interview that she was brought up in a religious home and she was told never to question, to just believe. And it seems to me this ultimately led to her leaving most of evangelical Christianity. In fact, she said in the interview that she wanted to get away from her Christian bubble. She wanted to get away from one way of thinking. And the therapist asked her, what did she want to get away from? And what was the problem with her upbringing? And that one way of thinking she wanted to get away from. Why was that a problem? And here is what she said. Go ahead, Mark, play that clip.
It was like, just do as I say. No ifs, ands, or buts. And it wasn't, it was like, you know, it was based on my religious upbringing. And I just always, like, I have so many questions. I ask all the questions in the world, and all the questions in the world have gotten me to where I'm at now. And it's not that I wasn't allowed. It's just that, like, it wasn't normal for people to ask questions in my position.
It wasn't normal for people to ask questions in my position. She is the daughter of a pastor. And she was just told, just believe, don't ask questions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can you blame her for leaving much of her evangelical faith behind? Why should she hold on to something that did not allow her to ask questions? Why should she hold on to something that appeared not to be strong enough to withstand questions? Why would she stay with that? I don't really blame her for walking away. Now, parents, if you're listening to this and you tell your kid, don't ask questions, just have faith, let me tell you right now, that is a recipe for disaster. In fact, Katy Perry goes on in the interview to say that she felt a calling, a longing for something else. She wanted something else. She felt like there was something else out there that she was missing out on. Here she is caught in this Christian bubble, and she couldn't ask questions about it. She couldn't ask questions about the real world, she felt. And so she decided that she needed to go out there and find herself, so to speak. She needed to go out there and find really what was out there. In fact, here's what she said. She said, I always felt like I was called for more, and it was out there. I didn't know how to get it, so I just started singing. That was her vehicle to get her outside of her Christian bubble and to see what was really out there in the world. Now, parents, the world is not neutral out there. If you don't allow your kids to ask questions, if you don't show them why Christianity is true and anything opposed to it is false, then you will continue to lose your kids to the new religion in America. In fact, when you boil it all down, there are only two religions, and we'll identify what those two religions are a little bit later in the program, but there's only two. Oh, Frank, no, there's a whole bunch of, no, at the end of the day, there's only two. And I'll mention those a little bit later. Why wouldn't you give your child the ability to ask questions because maybe you thought you couldn't answer them? Now, unfortunately, if that was you or is you, you're actually involved in the demise of your own child's faith. A little bit later in this interview, Katy Perry, who again, her real name is Catherine Hudson, begins crying. And here's what she says. She says, I'm really strong as Katy Perry, sometimes not as Catherine Hudson. I so badly want to be Catherine Hudson that I don't want to look like Katy Perry sometimes. That's why I cut my hair. I want to be my authentic self. I want to be my authentic self. I did it. I made this choice. I know I'm Katy Perry, the pop star, but I really want to be Catherine Hudson much of the time. She went on to say, people don't have to be just one thing. We can grow. I love growing and learning. It's hard when people want you to be a time capsule. She went on to say, I'm blessed and I'm grateful, but I'm human and I'm living under this crazy microscope. And yes, I've made that choice, but it's not always easy. Here she is, a pop star that has everything from a world's perspective. She has fame, she has fortune, she has all these adoring fans. And yet, She's not happy. She's searching for intimacy. She's searching for normalcy and anonymity. And she can't quite get it. Katy Perry went on to say, I want to be seen and heard. People don't want to be seen and heard by the pictures they post on the internet. They want real, true intimacy. In fact, she went on to say that the pictures that we post on the internet, she said, we hide behind all these things. Instagram. I do the same thing. I create this character, this pop star named Katy Perry. But we can't be intimate with people that way. You know, she said, they are not the same people that you see on Instagram. You know, when you meet somebody, you see all their Facebook posts or their Instagram posts, and then you meet them. And you discover, and this is me talking now, she didn't say it exactly this way, but you discover that the filter that we put up out there, that the image that we put out there isn't really the real person. She said, they're not the people you see on Instagram. Who are people? Who are they? She asks. She has an identity crisis. A little bit later in the interview, Katy Perry said, I believe there's something bigger than me in the sense that there is a God. And at one point, she said she considered suicide. And many times she would cover her thoughts and her despair with alcohol. She said, I've had a dance with the devil. Sometimes she says, I have to take a break. I numb myself. I have to have a couple of drinks to be Katy Perry. I need to numb myself. And she said, I'm ashamed that I would have thoughts of suicide. I do believe there's something bigger than me, and I know that God has his hand on me, she said. So she's not completely jettisoned some remnants of her Christian faith. She seems to cling to those remnants, but it seems only those parts that she thinks help her. And many of us are guilty of that, aren't we? We just want the kind of God that will always protect us and look down on us and approve on everything we do, but we don't want the judgmental God. We don't want the God that sets standards. We don't want God to be God. We want to be God. So what is the solution to the identity crisis? Where do we get our identity from? You can have it. It's right there. We'll talk about it after the break. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. We're back in 2 minutes. See you then. If you're low on the FM dial looking for National Public Radio, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. That's our intent anyway. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. Want to mention that, next weekend, the weekend of the 14th, 15th, Friday, Saturday, we're going to be in Moore, Oklahoma for Fearless Faith at First Baptist Moore. Right there, just south of Oklahoma City. That's myself, Jay Warner Wallace, and Mike Adams for Fearless Faith. That is our program that we provide to mostly to churches to help young people and their parents know why Christianity is true and how to defend it before they go off to college. Because as you know, about 75% of young people walk away from the church once they leave the home. And so Fearless Faith is designed to instill in them the basics of what they need to know so they can go off to college, not unarmed, but armed with the truth. And I think perhaps if Katy Perry had been armed with the truth in terms of the reasons that Christianity is true, maybe she wouldn't have left the faith. No, maybe she would have anyway. Just because you know something doesn't mean you're going to follow it. But it certainly, I think, would have helped to know why Christianity is true and these other worldviews are false. Now, I mentioned before the break that you can watch the entire hour session with Katy Perry. I watched it this morning, And it's called Katy Perry, the Therapist on Viceland. It's on YouTube. That's just type that in, Katy Perry, the Therapist. You'll probably find it. It's an hour long. And she's just being herself in an authentic way. She's crying half the time. Her mascara's running down. And she just is seems to be as authentic and sincere as she can. I mean, she admits she's using alcohol to cover her numbness. She admits that she's thought of suicide tragically. She admits that a lot of times she has an identity crisis between being Katy Perry, the pop star, and Catherine Hudson, the daughter of a Pentecostal pastor. And she knows that there's a God out there. Maybe she doesn't quite know who she is. In another interview at one point, she said that she's not a Christian and she doesn't embrace heaven and hell and doesn't believe an old man sitting on a throne, to which I respond, I don't believe in an old man sitting on a throne either. I'm sorry that, Katy, that was the image you have of God. In fact, for a minute, I'd like to step away from this interview and I'd like to do away for a minute with the term God, because when I say the word God, you may come up with all sorts of different images in your mind, different thoughts in your mind. Let's drop the word God for a minute, and let's talk about the source and sustainer of all things. Who is the source and sustainer of all things? The actual being that Christians call God is the source and sustainer of all things, and here are some of his attributes. He's self-existing. He's infinite. He's simple in the sense that he's undivided in being. He's not made of parts. He's immaterial. He's spaceless. He's timeless. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. It means his power is everywhere present. Doesn't mean he's physically everywhere present, because he's not a physical being, but his power is everywhere present. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's immutable. He doesn't change. He's holy. He's set apart. He's morally perfect. He's perfectly just and loving. He's personal. In other words, he has mind, emotion, and will. He makes choices. And he's also triune. He's three persons in one divine essence. This is the source and sustainer of all things. He's not an old man on a throne. He's not an old man in the clouds. He's not the man upstairs. He's infinite. He has no limits. That being actually does exist. And you can look around the physical world you see and realize that there's some power out there that created and sustains this universe we live in, and created and sustains you and me. Katy Perry understands that there's some, as she says, source or being bigger than herself. Now, she may have dispensed with the view that Jesus is that being, but I think there may be hope that if you were to get her some evidence, that maybe she would reconsider and really realize that Jesus is the source and sustainer of all things. And that identity actually is found in him, ladies and gentlemen. It's found in him. In fact, I had Tim Keller on this program back in December. You need to go back and listen to that podcast. It was about Tim's new book, Making Sense of God. And Keller, look, whatever Tim Keller writes, God reads. God's going, gee, I didn't know this. No, not really. You get the idea. But Tim Keller writes some amazing books. And of course, he's a great pastor and speaker. In fact, he's retiring from Redeemer Church in Manhattan, I think later this year, but he'll still be out there on the circuit a little bit. And Tim Keller says, one of the things that we struggle with is what is our identity? Who is our identity? Who are we? And he points that there are two basic ways that cultures have tried to discover what their identity is, or individuals in cultures. There's the traditional way, and then there is the modern way. The traditional way is basically that if your dad was a potter, you were a potter. You know, if your dad was a mechanic, you were a mechanic. You basically put the needs of your family and the community over your own individual desires. That was the traditional way of finding your identity. The modern way to find your identity is that you have to go find yourself. You have to go against what the community might want you to do, or go against what your family might want you to do. You need to be true to yourself, so to speak. You need to go find yourself. And Keller points out in his book, in chapter 6, Making Sense of God, that neither of those two ways are the proper ways. Both turn out to be crushing. There are advantages and disadvantages of both ways, but neither of them are the right way. You don't necessarily look to your culture, or you don't necessarily look inside. You don't look out. You don't look in. To get your identity, you look up. You look upward. In fact, Keller points out that if you think you can find your identity by looking inward, it's not going to work. Like if you want to go in and look at your thoughts and your desires, and you're going to say, that's who I am, it's not going to work. Why? Because your thoughts and desires are changing and they are conflicting. You always have to make choices. There are always trade-offs. In fact, Katy Perry understood that. She was saying, look, I made the choice to become Katy Perry rather than Catherine Hudson. But you see, in her own world, she wants to be both. On one hand, she wants to be Katy Perry. On the other hand, a lot of times she wants to be Catherine Hudson. And there are trade-offs. And all of us have feelings and thoughts that change throughout our lives. In fact, Keller gives this great example. When he was talking to Wheaton College, he said to the people in Wheaton College, let me just give you an example of this. Let's suppose you're 20 years old now. I want you to remember back to when you were 15. You remember when you were 15? Yeah, you're probably thinking about right now. Yeah, when I was 15, I was an idiot. That's right. You were an idiot. And right now at 20, you think you got it all together. But let me tell you, when you hit 25, you're going to think your 20-year-old self was an idiot too. Now, this disparity may decrease as you get older. But his point was, you know, no matter where you are in life, you're always going to look back and say, at that point, I was an idiot, which means you're always an idiot. Okay, maybe that's too strong a term. That was his term. But you always look back and you go, well, 5, 10 years ago, I really wasn't where I am now. I wasn't as good, or I wasn't as mature as I was, or as I am now. I wasn't as mature as I was back then. And I liked things back then that I don't like now. And I had different priorities then than I have now. So if you go back or you go into yourself to try and find yourself, that's not going to work because you're always changing. And you should always change. You should mature. In fact, Katy Perry gets another thing right. In the interview, she talks about, I want to grow. I want to be around people that are intelligent because I want to learn. And I don't want to be a time capsule. I want to learn and grow. She's right about that. And think about you right now. There's always trade-offs between desires. You may desire love. You may also desire what is known as sexual freedom. Well, I'm sorry, you can't have both. You can't have true intimacy with one person and sexual freedom at the same time. In fact, you may have a desire for one person one day and a desire for another person another day. Or a desire for many people another day. You may have a desire for kids. And at the same time, have a desire for independence. You can't have both, ladies and gentlemen. As soon as you start dating somebody and you go out of town, Keller gives this example. He says, you just can't leave town without telling the person you're dating. You lose some of your independence. You certainly lose a lot of your independence when you get married. And you certainly lose even more of your independence when you have kids. But you want kids and you want your independence. You got to choose. You can't have it all. You may want a vibrant career. And also lots of free time, fun time with the family. Sometimes you can't have both. Why? Because somebody else in your company is going to work harder to get that promotion. And if you don't work as hard, you're not going to get that promotion. But if you work that hard, you're not going to have free time with your family. You want to eat anything and you also want to have good health. Sorry, can't do both. You want it now, but you want financial security at the same time. Can't have both. You want fame and money. But you also want anonymity and normalcy. You want to be Katy Perry on one hand, but you also want to be Catherine Hudson on another. In fact, one writer said this, my wife has been married to 5 different men, and they've all been me. You've probably heard this before. When a woman gets married, she is banking on the fact that the man will change. When a man gets married, he's banking on the fact that the woman will never change. Well, guess what? We all change. We all change. And your desires change. Your thoughts change sometimes. Your maturity level changes. So if you go inside yourself to try and find who you are, you may find yourself for 10 minutes and then you're off to being somebody else if you're going or if you're basing your identity on your feelings. You're basing your identity on your desires. So, yeah, by the way, this guy who said it, my wife's been married to five men, but all of them have been me. He said the only thing that has kept us through or kept us together in this marriage is my vow to Christ and my vow to her. When I got married, I made a choice. And when you say yes to one thing, you have to say no to another. If you're going to say yes to Christ, you have to say no to some things in the world that take you away from Christ. If you're going to say yes to one person, you have to say no to everybody else in terms of marriage. You have to make choices. And Katy Perry got it right. She's making choices. All of us are making choices. But what are you choosing? Are you choosing something that is temporal, or you're choosing something that's eternal? And what are the two religions out there? There's only two of them, ladies and gentlemen. And right after the break, we're going to reveal what they are. And then you can base your identity on something that's eternal and lasting. And no matter what happens to you, you will have that identity. I'm Frank Turek. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
If you find value in the content of this podcast, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can find more. Just type CrossExamine or Frank Turek on the search bar. Also, visit our website where we add new videos, articles, and free resources daily.
To you from the studio of Southern Evangelical Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina, ses.edu. Don't forget about the conference in October here at SES. Check out ses.edu for more. We're talking about identity today. Who are you? How do you ground your identity? If you would ground it in anything that's temporal, then any of those things can be taken away from you, and then you will have a crisis of identity. Because if you place your identity in any temporal person or any temporal job or money or sex or power or even family or your sexual preference, what happens when the sex ends? What happens when you die? What happens when your partner, who you thought was the be-all and end-all, lets you down? In fact, nobody can fulfill you except God. Nobody can. There is nobody out there that can meet your level of expectation. Nobody can meet my expectations. Nobody can meet your expectations. If you put divine expectations on another human being, you will crush them, and you will be crushed. Nobody is going to make you happy alone. So where do you put your identity? I mentioned before the break, there's only two religions out there. When you boil them all down, there's only two. The first religion is to worship the creator. The second religion is to worship the creation. To worship yourself, others, or anything other than God. Those are the only two religions. Everybody is worshiping something. You're either worshiping the creator or you're worshiping the creation. Either yourself, another person, a job, something material, a hobby, sex, money, power, social status, Facebook, friend, whatever it is. You're worshiping your freedom, your autonomy, your sexuality, your country, your religion, whatever that is. You're either going to worship the creator or worship creation. Paul warns us about this in Romans chapter 1. We suppress the truth and unrighteousness to go our own way. We worshiped the creation rather than the creator. That's a problem if we worship the creation. So the question is, what is life all about? What is its purpose? And how should we live then? Katy Perry, God bless her, she was just as transparent as you could be on this video. You've got to see the video. again, you have to go back to the top of the program to see what we're talking about. We're talking about how Katy Perry has a bit of an identity crisis, a self-admitted identity crisis. And actually, she can't be Katy Perry or Catherine Hudson alone and find a firm foundation in her identity. She has to go outside of herself, just like you and I do. And the way you do that is you find your identity in Christ, because he actually took your punishment, your sin, upon himself. You don't find your identity by looking inward. You don't find your identity by looking outward. You find your identity by looking upward. And you don't achieve your identity. You receive your identity. A Christian's identity is not achieved, it is received. You see, if your identity is achieved, then you're always in competition with others. I mean, yeah, you like having a lot of money, don't you? But you only like having a lot of money if you have more money than the guy next to you, right? You're always in competition with somebody else. Or you like having that great-looking girl or great-looking guy. But as soon as your neighbor has a better-looking girl or better-looking guy, you're going, oh, man, I don't have the best anymore. You don't get your identity from inside or outside. You get your identity from God. It is not achieved, it is received. So the key question is not what your Facebook friends think of you. It's not what your spouse thinks of you, actually, or your kids. I mean, that's important, obviously, but not ultimately to your identity. The key question is, what does God think of you? And the truth of the matter is God loves everybody equally. Why? Because he's an infinite being. He loves everybody equally. Doesn't mean he approves of everything everybody does equally. Doesn't mean he won't allow sin to go unpunished. Sin will be punished. But God loves you infinitely, which means he can't love you more if you obey him, and he can't judge you more, or love you less, I should say, if you disobey him. You will be judged. But he can't love you more. He's already an infinite being. He already loves you as infinitely as he can. So your identity is not achieved. It's not what you do. It's who you are in Christ, because you are adopted. Paul talks about this in the book of Romans. We're adopted into the family. And the riches of the Father suddenly become our riches. Think of the so-called parable of the prodigal son. We talked about that on this program before. In fact, Tim Keller has a wonderful book called Prodigal God. Both of the brothers in the parable are lost. Both of them are. And the prodigal son, who goes away and squanders everything, realizes that he's adopted back in the home by the graciousness and love of the father, not because of anything he's done. And this is what the older brother, who is the obedient one, misses. He's standing at home thinking the father owes him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think God owes you something, you've got the wrong God. God doesn't owe you a thing. He doesn't owe you anything. Everything he gives you is by grace. Oh, he may reward you in heaven for good things you've done out of your love for him. There will be rewards in heaven. But he doesn't owe you a thing. In fact, Tim Keller puts it this way in his book, Making Sense of God. He says, ordinary moralistic religion operates on this principle. I live a good and moral life, therefore God accepts me. He says, but gospel Christianity operates in the opposite way. God accepts me unconditionally in Jesus Christ, therefore I live a good and moral life. Do you see the difference? You see the difference here? It's not, I live a good moral life, therefore God accepts me. It's, God accepts me, therefore I live a good moral life. And so for Katy Perry or Catherine Hudson, and for all of us out there, our identity comes by grace through Christ. In fact, Katy Perry actually wrote a song. She said in this interview, she wrote a song called By the Grace of God. It was a song in response to the suicidal thoughts she had. You might pray for this woman, ladies and gentlemen. She's a very talented woman. I mean, I don't know much about her music. I don't really even know much about her. I know that she's fallen away from her faith. I know she's a big supporter of the so-called LGBTQ political goals and all that. She received an award from them. I know all that. But to love people, you pray for them and you wish what's best for them. And it would be wonderful if she found her faith, refound her faith, a faith that really was a faith grounded in truth and was adopted into the kingdom and found her identity in Christ. And that's not an identity that you compete with others for. Everybody can have this identity. We can all have it. You just have to accept what Christ has done. He will not force you into heaven against your will. If you don't want him now, you're not going to want him in eternity. He will leave you alone in eternity if you don't want to accept his identity, if you don't want to accept his free gift. In fact, Paul puts it this way. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. 2 Corinthians 4. Actually, 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 2 Corinthians 4. Yes, that is the fact that we are wasting away. We're all going to die at some point. But if we're in Christ, we have eternal glory. That's where our identity lies. So if you don't get those Facebook likes, if you don't get the job, if you get fired, if your friends leave you, your spouse leaves you, everything that you put your hope and trust in goes away. There is one eternal person whom will never let you down, who died for you, who laid down his own life so he could adopt you. That's Jesus. And Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 2. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And he did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for Katy Perry, Catherine Hudson. He did that for everyone. And it's your choice and Katy or Catherine's choice as to whether or not you're going to accept what Christ has done. Why wouldn't you accept the love, the grace, the unconditional acceptance, the eternal identity that you're a child of God? Why wouldn't you accept that? Everything else is fleeting. Everything else will let you down ultimately. All of those things in the world are temporary. Only you are eternal. The question is, and God, of course, where will you live in eternity? That's up to you. Ladies and gentlemen, you get your identity, your eternal identity, your identity that can't be shaken only from Christ. Put your trust in him. I'm Frank Turek. I'll see you next time. Don't forget, we're going to be in First Baptist Moore this coming weekend in Moore, Oklahoma. God bless.